Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
What a show it's been. We just heard from Jeff from Columbus, Ohio. Obviously, the Big Ten Network still doesn't have a call-in show. And if they did, this next caller would probably drop by and make their ratings go up. Legend is next.
Woo! My boy, Paul Feinbaum. They talk about you protect me. You cater to me. Let me break it down to them, Paul. When you got a star quarterback with multiple national championships under his belt, hell yeah, you protect him.
Woo! You got a red shirt on in practice.
Hell yeah, bro. I got a red shirt on in practice. Jeff is a dadgum third string offensive lineman. Let me tell you something about these dudes, Paul. Let me tell you something, man. I love you, man. You know I love you. You my brother. You my Black Hat Mafia brother. But the Paul Feinbaum Show ain't my life. It's just a little portion of my life that I let my freak flag fly. You know, I was just talking to the great Kip Kiefer. Him and Miss Terry has the morning after every Sunday morning on Jocks from 9 to 11. And he was telling me, Legend, let your freak flag continue to fly. I appreciate it, Kip. You know what I'm saying, Paul? I mean, you know and I know I'm having fun, man. That's what sports is all about. But these morons, Squirrel and Jim and Jeff, this is their whole life. They live for this show. They tweet about this show 24 hours a day after it's over with. I got Squirrel sending me pictures of him in high school where he caught a pass for 10 yards in some kind of newspaper clipping. Sending me pictures of his boat like I give a damn. Let me tell you something, Squirrel. I wouldn't urinate on you if you was on fire. I don't give a damn if you got a mansion, a boat, and 20 cars in your parking lot. Let me tell you what my mama told my neighbor one time. I don't care if you got damn pink elephants over in your yard, as long as you keep them out of my damn yard. Woo! And you get it, Paul. The fans get it. It's about having fun, baby. It's about having fun. I mean, I don't go out on a date and open the door for my girl I'm taking out and go, woo! I don't do that, man. I'm having fun, and in real life, I got a job. I pay taxes. I get up every morning. I'm serious about what I do in life. Paul Feinbaum ain't my whole friggin' life. It's just a portion that I enjoy. But these morons, Paul, they're obsessed with this thing, and they're pathetic. That's what they are. They're jealous and pathetic. A couple second-string offensive linemen wishing they had them national championships that I got, but you ain't, because there can't be but one, and I'm that one, baby. Now let's get to that G I lost. Josh Heupel, you owe me $1,000. What the hell was that? Did you have a bet on the game? I turned the game off with a damn minute 30 thinking I had the bet won. And what the hell happened? At the end, I was hoping Florida beat y'all, sorry ass, blowing my bet like that. Rocky Top is a rocky flop. I don't give a damn about you winning. Only thing I cared about was the line, and you didn't cover. You're overrated, Josh Heupel. Now for Sam Pittman, another overrated damn coach. He's a good old boy. Yeah, he's a good old boy. He cost me $100, too. You ain't a good old boy. You owe me $100, Sam Pittman. What the hell was that right there? And guess what, Paul? I had Missouri on the money line. Woo! It was a bad day for the legend. What the hell? Kick Missouri out of the damn league. I don't even want you in the SEC after that performance.
Oh my.
Refused to score a touchdown. What the hell was that? What's that coach's name? It don't matter. Get his ass out of Missouri. Run the whole damn team out of the SEC, baby. Get the whole ass out of the league. And Auburn, that was pathetic. I tell you what, Paul, Brian Harsin heard from the governor at the last second, didn't he?
You're right.
They had him strapped in the chair. They had him in Big Yellow Mama. They had him in the chair, but the governor called with 5 seconds left and say, hold up that execution. Give him a stay of execution. But I've got news for you, Brian Harsin. That chair's still there, and it won't be long before they have you strapped in, baby. And OU, poo-poo. Let me tell you something, Oklahoma, what you've done. You've wasted the next 3 or 4 years on a great assistant who ain't going to be a good head coach. Frank Wright. That's what you've done. You've wasted 3 or 4 years on a great assistant that's never going to be a great head coach. Stop hiring these guys that ain't never did it on a big-time level. And finally, Paul, Pete Golden. I may have to apologize for it, so will. 18 blitzes on Saturday. You've been listening. I might have to apologize, Skip. I might have to apologize, but I'm bad enough to do it. I ain't like Jim, who ain't never apologized for anything. I will, but keep showing it. Keep showing it. You've been listening. Pa, I love you, dude. Love the show, man. Love you for all these folks that talk about you calling me. Hell yeah, I'm the 5-star starting quarterback. Elvis has left the building.
Well done. Thank you, legend. Deontay is up next in Illinois. Deontay is up next in Illinois. Hello. Deontay is no longer going to be next from Illinois. Ken is going to be. Ken.
Hey, what's going on, Fine Ball?
Hey there.
Hey, I got a quick question for you, Ball Man. What you think about that dumpster fire we got up there in Auburn right now?
I think it's pretty bad.
And what they waiting on to go and get rid of Harsin? They're going to mess around and let Georgia Tech hire Hugh Freeze. And then what we going to do? What do you think our next coach going to be if we don't get Hugh Freeze?
Well, I think the schedule is really what's going on right now. And by the way, Harsin, you know, he beat Missouri, however he beat. It doesn't really matter. It won't matter next week if he beats LSU. And suddenly, you know, you're hoping that he gets some momentum going before they go to Georgia. But ultimately, it's not even the one loss record that bothers me about Auburn. It's just the program just seems lifeless. From a recruiting standpoint, from an energy standpoint, and that's ultimately going to be the issue. Jim is up next. What do you got, Jim?
Yeah, you know, Paul. I mean, I'm fired up, man. Jeff is right. You protect that thug. He's a liar. That guy is a liar, Paul. Let me tell you something. He calmly told you a lie.
What did
many
he lie
lies about me and his? Let me talk, if you will.
Okay, I'm
he
sorry.
He told me. You're gonna.
It's all yours.
Well, then stop talking. He told you many lies during the conversations the last month or so about mine and his conversations over the last couple of years. He's a lying thug, Paul. I'm telling you. I'm not a liar, but I'm telling you he's a liar. Do you think he ever helped your show's ratings better than I have? Do you think so? Do you really think so?
I just asked you what he lied about.
Well, I'm going to tell you what he lied about. That's what I was getting to. You didn't answer the questions. You, like a good lawyer, you dodged that. But here's what he lied about. He said, hey, I did this and that on his calls. And did sell. He told you nothing but lies. Here's what he really did every day. Not every day, but about 40 times.
Could you give us some specificity here? I'll tell you, if you listen,
here's what he said about 40 times over the 2 years. Jim, you fire me up. You motivate me. Please call. Please call Feinbaum. I mean, I hadn't even been listening, and then I heard you call over there, and it fired me up. Do what?
That's not a lie. That's just an exaggeration.
No, I said, though, the things he told you, that's not what he told you. The things he told you were lies. He told you a bunch of crap that I didn't say. He just lied. I'm telling you what he used to do with me, though, how much he liked me and wanted me to call because he said I motivated him. He said I was the best caller of all time. That's a fact. That's what he told me. I don't care what he tells you. That's what he told me, and God in heaven knows the truth, and that's a fact,
Jim,
Paul.
I don't think there's any question there.
Paul, you defend the guy like Jeff said. He's a thug. I don't know what you're scared of him or what, but he's a punk. You defend the hell out of him. It's repulsive how you defend him. It's repulsive, Paul, and I can't stand it. I disrespect you for that. No respect for you whatsoever. None.
Well, I don't know what to do. I mean, there's not a template for how to react to that, is there?
No.
Well, actually, there is. We'll take a short break. We're coming right back with 15 minutes remaining on this incredible Monday afternoon that is about to be Monday night.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand-name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Thinking Out Loud, mere moments away. And speaking of TOL, the two hosts of the show, Richard and Spencer, joining us. And guys, we've talked about it a lot this afternoon in terms of the I realized there was a winner, although it just didn't seem that way. And I'm speaking of Missouri at Auburn. You guys are both brilliant writers. Can you help us better understand how to describe that game?
No, actually, no, I can't.
The triumph of experience over hope. That neither one of these teams appeared to have a lot going right for them going into this, and that coming out of it, I don't feel like either team has a lot going for it coming out of this game. Auburn seems confused. They're 3-1. It may be the most confused 3-1 team in the nation because I couldn't tell you what they do well. I couldn't tell you where to start fixing it. And I couldn't tell you what your real assets are. I'm baffled by them as a team. And as confused as I am about Auburn, I'm more confused about what Missouri's doing.
I think for Missouri, you just are flabbergasted about how you lost that game.
Yeah.
I mean, everything was, everything looked stars aligning. Harrison Meavis is not a bad kicker. Like, this is not a college kicker situation. I'm not terribly up on my kicker mechanics, but I imagine Harrison Meavis has a leg that will get him a look to play on Sundays as a specialist. You do not expect him to miss that kick. You know, Auburn, the Auburn situation to me is very interesting because it's to the point where I'm sure there are a certain faction of Auburn fans mm-hmm. that were not exactly thrilled with the result at the end of that game. And, you know, it's just Auburn's in that, they're in that in-between right now, let's call it, the purgatory, so to speak.
3-1 in-between somehow against all odds.
And I don't know. I mean, the game against LSU seems winnable, doesn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, if you look at it, they play Western Kentucky, I think, at the end of the season. And I don't even know if I can pencil that one in for a win. I don't know what the rest of the way is going to look like, especially given the quarterback situation. Mm-hmm. Spencer, they can't throw the ball. They couldn't throw the ball on Saturday.
Yeah, they're running a single wing. There's another thing about this. The Auburn-LSU game has a habit of dragging everyone down to its level, which is about 3 inches off the ground. It's going to be a very physical game. It's going to be very mean. I don't know if a whole lot is going to happen down the field in either direction. So it's not like you're going to get a better idea of what Auburn does anyway out of this, because they're already playing like they usually play in the LSU game all along.
So I know you're going to pick their one loss record at the end of the season. I'm not asking you to give away a guarded secret like that, but will it be enough to save Brian Harsin's job?
I don't think so, because I don't think there's a number for that. I don't think there's a number that's going to do that. I think everybody understands the way this is going to go and the eight ball he is behind, given what happened in February or March. I mean, win out? But does anybody think Auburn's going to win out?
I think whatever happens is going to be poisonous for Harsin's successor eventually, whenever that happens, because if he manages to cling to this job, then say like a 7-5 or an 8-4 record occurs, all right? It's going to look weird if any sort of like change happens there, right? If somehow they go on a run, okay, and weirder things have happened, but if they go on this massive run, then it'll look even stranger, right? And yet, I don't know what Auburn wants to be. I think that's a clearer question. Competitive is one answer, but I need to know what's your identity in a world where you are fighting Alabama to the north and you are fighting Georgia to the east.
I think Auburn could always hang its hat on, no matter the dysfunction, no matter all of the stuff off the field, we won and we won big throughout eras. That's not happening right now.
Guys, it's not a subject we talked to you much about, but considering they should have won the game, they had the game won 8 million times and they didn't win the game. Now they have Georgia coming in. I mean, what if you're a Missouri fan watching right now, I mean, is there any reason to believe that you're not going down the similar road?
Well, you don't have the dysfunction that Auburn has, of course.
Yeah.
But I do think you take solace in the fact that Georgia made some mistakes on Saturday.
Yeah. I mean, there's that, but there also might be this. Maybe Georgia was due for a bad game, and they blew it at Kent State,
well,
right?
Yeah.
They had their bad game. They took it against Kent State. They're going to have a terrible week of practice for the players, and they're going to show up. So I don't know how much hope there is for Missouri. I think the hope is that you look slightly better, that you're competitive in what will likely be a loss, and then you reboot to make the second half of the season mean something, because right now, again, Missouri, you don't have a lot to hang your hat on.
Let's talk about two schools that were hanging their hat on a lot in Texas on Saturday night, and another inexplicable ending. Which direction are these two going in with critical games coming up?
Yeah, Texas, the word is Bijan Robinson is toting the rock around campus, and people are trying to peanut Tillman that thing out, and they're not able to do it because, hey, he's working on his ball security. Texas, this is the thing with Texas. My problem with Texas is not getting up for big games. They do happen to be able to do that. It's getting up for Texas Tech on the road at noon.
Yeah, it's that, and also it's people being able to say two damaging things in a post-game promo that Joey McGuire, Texas Tech coach, cut on Texas. One, he said, "I told you they were going to break, and they did," which is as damaging a thing as I think you can say about a football team from one coach to another. Additionally, he said when asked, you know, hey, you think this means a lot beating Texas? It means we're 1-0 in the Big 12. That's bad. That's super bad. But remember, Oklahoma lost too, so it's okay. It's totally fine.
TOL coming up here in a few minutes with Richard and Spencer. Thanks, guys. We'll see you in a few minutes. So let's get back to the calls here. And I-Man is up next.
Good afternoon, Paul. That was always interesting. You know, I don't care what the deal is with Auburn, but Harsin's my man, Auburn Tigers. Now, I'm not a fan at all of the Peckerwood, Yellowwood guys, but Harsin's the guy. You know, Paul, it's always interesting to me, Jim's level of jealousies. Do you pick up on that at all, any?
Yeah, I don't think it's too hard to miss, man.
I mean, you know, it's telegraphed out there, and it's obvious that Jeff is getting calls from Jim to make Jim, you know, feel better about himself. And I guess Jeff's just not toting the lumber for him, pardon the pun. But anyway, Paul, have a great day.
I may be up next.
How about Joe next in Georgia? Hello, Joe.
Hey, Paul, nice to be here.
Thank you.
Nice to be here. First time my brother's been on the show. And I have a basic question.
Yes.
Do you know if any of these SEC coaches have any, if they have a speech teacher?
You know, I would think some of them perhaps have been tutored by experts.
Well, the reason I'm asking is I listen to all these coaches online and on television, and they're always saying, and, you know, Nick says, and
well,
today.
Okay, let me say this to you about that. And I know what you're talking about, and I've sat there many times in the audience as a reporter covering these things. I would say the majority of these coaches are very good speakers. Many are eloquent. I've heard Nick Saban, I've heard Jimbo Fisher, I've heard Kirby Smart, and Brian Kelly give motivational speeches. Here's the problem with these press conferences. You go in not trying to deliver a message. You go in with one goal. Don't say anything stupid. Don't say anything that gives away your game plan. So every coach has a paper in front of them. I'm sure you see that, do you not, Joe? They're looking down at notes. They're publicity guys. Some are extremely good. Some should be greeting folks at Walmart. And the point being, it's one thing if you have a really good opponent. You don't need to rely on that. But if you have a punching bag or a tomato can, you have to just go, we're playing Eastern Washington this week. And they're here comes the ums. Why do you say ums?
I understand that.
Is a bridge as a speaker to stall as you're trying to figure out what you want to say next. So they're looking down at their sheet going, they've got a quarterback, outstanding 6'3", 240 young man who was sensational, and we tried to recruit him, which is not true. But you always just say something.
You should do that all the time.
None of these guys believe any of this stuff, but they're just filling time because they're forced to.
I understand that, but when they continually say, you know, like every two or three words, that gets you wondering what's going on. And
must tell you, it's not that easy to speak continuously, because you're it's one thing to give a speech that you're looking down at notes. It's another thing to read it like presidents do off a teleprompter, or try to read it. It's another thing to just be vamping. I do the same thing. You're sitting here, and so you go, you go, you know. These are just nervous little things that you're throwing out there because you don't really know what you're saying. And all you want to do, I've heard Nick Saban at those press conferences 1,000 times, it's the same thing. We have great respect for Eli Drinkwitz. We have great respect for Sam Pittman. At least Pittman today had a real story to tell. He genuinely likes Nick Saban.
What I'm saying is,
I know that for a fact.
They need to be aware of what they're saying, you know?
No, they don't. I'm defending them for this reason, Joe, because you're watching it, but these things are just mandated for the media. And yeah, I frankly find them to be a waste of time. I'm interested in real stories, real issues, but I don't cover a team where I'm trying to fill up reams of copy to put out on my website or my website or my newspaper, which there really aren't any anymore. I was trying to come up with a nice way of saying that.
Well, okay. But anyway, what I wanted to say was if they didn't have a speech school, I would suggest the SEC come up with a speech in school.
Well, Joe, I need to run to the break here, but I strongly disagree with you. And I'm not just defending coaches to defend them, but I would take almost all of these coaches in terms of being able to communicate. You do not become a head coach at a high level if you don't have those skills. When they want to communicate, which they do with their players before a game, during a game, at practice, they know how to communicate. They're not good at this because this is a very awkward, in my mind, unnecessary waste of time. You could send the media out a copy of the coach's comments, and it would be just as effective as what you get at these Bundy press conferences. Anyway, that's my thought. We will be back with much more after this.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Hey, let's get back to the calls. And Snake is up next. Hey, Snake.
Hey, Paul, man, I appreciate you taking my call.
Thank you.
I was going to try to jog your memory bank a little bit. My mom passed away last Wednesday, and I just buried her this afternoon. And I got home, and I was unwinding and turned you on and heard Jim, and I wrote an unusual obituary for my mom that people want to look at. They might get where I'm going with this, but if mom had talked to Jim or listened to Jim a little more, he would have probably made the obituary. But anyway, it's Willa Dean Hudson at Dignity Memorial. And anyway, I was thinking back to a SEC party at Avondale Brewery. You remember that?
Yeah, that was in 2012, I believe, and Legend was a big part of that.
Yes, he was. And matter of fact, I hadn't met Legend before then, and I was thinking, boy, if I see Legend down there and he pops off, I'm going to stop a mud hole in his butt. But when I met him, and I was sitting there talking to you by the outside beer tapper and had asked you if you had seen Tammy, and you said, no, I don't think she's here yet. And then in a little while, here comes Tammy with blonde hair and a sundress on. I'm like, that can't be her. I was expecting to show up in camouflage and with a deer head or something, but she was a pleasure to meet, and so was Legend.
Yeah, Snake, I remember Legend that night very well. And part of the reason I remember it, because there was a reporter with me that night. I don't know if you remember seeing
him. Exactly.
From the New Yorker magazine. He was doing a profile, and he wrote about that. In fact, the title of the article came from Legend's speech to the crowd that night.
Right, right. Well, I wound up hanging out with Legend and his lady and Tammy all night. I think I spent half my paycheck on sampling all the beers there. But
well,
anyway,
hey, by the way,
Snake,
tell us a little bit about your mom. We're certainly sorry to hear about her.
Oh, thank you. Thank you much. Oh, she was such a wonderful lady. I didn't have a preacher at the funeral. I got my oldest cousin to do the eulogy, and my youngest cousin did the prayers, and they did such a wonderful job. And the reason for steering away from our pastor, I had a buddy was telling, he said, about every time I've seen him in the last 10 years was at funerals, and he was talking about somebody's funeral. He said, you know what, when I left that funeral, that preacher made me feel like I was going to hell. And I told him, I said, well, Claude, if you feel like you're going to hell after you leave Mama's funeral, you probably are. But anyway, I guaranteed him he wasn't going to hell. But I put Donald Trump in Mom's eulogy, and if, like I said, if she had listened to Jim a time or two, Jim would have probably made the eulogy.
I'm curious, how did Donald Trump make the eulogy?
Well, you want me to read it to you?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Not the eulogy, the obituary.
Yeah, I think I'd like to hear that.
And but anybody can go to dignitymemorial.com and read it. But I thought I had it right here. But anyway, if you want me to read it, I'll read it.
Well, yeah, we go right ahead.
If you got time for it.
We got time.
Okay, let's see. Right here it is. Okay. There's Willa Dean Livingston Hudson, a red. Oh, by the way, you remember Hudson from Roebuck that used to call in years ago?
Sure.
Okay, that was my brother. The reason he hadn't called in lately, he died 5 years ago.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, but anyway, it's Willa Dean Livingston Hudson, a resident of Gardendale, Alabama, was born in Fayetteville, Alabama on June 30th, 1934. To parents Bronco Wilburn Livingston and Lola Bradford Livingston. He passed away peacefully at home on September 21st, 2022, at the age of 88, with her son Greg by her side. He retired from AT&T as a lifetime telephone pioneer member and an honorary life member of CWA. Willa Dean dearly loved her family, friends, her church, and Alabama football. She also liked to let everyone know how much she despised Donald Trump. There's a lot more to it, and I'm going to stop it right there, and everybody will get the gist of why Jim would have probably made it if she had ever listened to him, but she couldn't.
Well, Snake, listen, I find those things so interesting because obviously it's your mother, but it's a life that's very well worth lived, and it's somebody who worked hard, and I think that's really what it ought to be about. And I think too often
she sure did. Well, the reason I put that in there about Trump, because I knew this would be the last time she would be able to express anything like that.
Well, you know, my mother was the same way. If she didn't like you, she wanted you to know it.
I heard that.
Yeah,
yes, sir.
And I can easily relate to that. Well, I'm glad you got in today, Snake, and I'm so sorry about your mom and your brother. But I appreciate you sharing their stories with us.
Well, I appreciate you, Paul. I've enjoyed you for years. I've known you since the 80s. I know you would know me if you saw me. And I saw you out at Bentbrook Golf Course quite a few times when they had special events.
Oh, sure.
And I sure do appreciate your show. And I was glad you let me throw that out there.
Well, Snake, we're really glad that you called, and we'll all be thinking about you and your family, and you take care of yourself.
All right.
Thank you very much. We'll take a short break. We're back with the remaining moments right after this.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Melanie is up next in Georgia. Melanie, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
How have you been, my friend?
Melanie, I've been quite well. I appreciate you calling and asking. And
yeah, I'm like, you know, you get through those calls like so gracefully, like way more than I could ever manage.
And, Melanie, actually, I'm sure you have a trait that would far outweigh anything I could do in your line of work. I don't know if there's really any skill to it other than learning just to keep your mouth shut when you want to scream.
Yeah, exactly. And some people just don't know how to do that.
I've been married for 33 years. That's how I learned how to keep my mouth shut.
Oh, well, I was married to my husband for 33 years. He passed away a little over 3 years ago.
Oh.
But give Snake my condolences. I hate that he lost his mother like that. But life is never the same. When you lose those loved ones, it just changes forever, and that's the way it is. You know, we just have to go on. That's what they want us to do.
Melanie, I know it's never easy, but what has allowed you to be able to move forward after your loss?
Well, I have two grandchildren, Tanner and Mackay,
mm-hmm.
and they live in Kingston, Massachusetts. I live in Kingston, Georgia, and my son had a dog named Kingston, and so we're all about Kingston here in Georgia. But
isn't there a town in Jamaica called Kingston?
Yes, actually there is. Yeah. And then there's Kingsland, Georgia, and they get that mixed up with Kingston, Georgia. But anyway, but Paul, you rock my world. You are just so handsome and sexy. And how you have any hair left at this point, I don't know, because I'd have done pulled my hair out with some of these people that call in to you.
Well, no, I used to have a full head of hair. So,
of course. I'm sure you did.
It started going.
Really,
I started losing it the moment I started doing radio.
I get it. However, I'm a big Georgia fan. My son played baseball at Georgia at 2008, and we lost to Fresno at the last game. It wasn't a fun time, but it was quite the experience. However, I just want to say. I had a customer come in to me a few years ago when I was wearing my Georgia gear and he was wearing his, you know, somebody else in the SEC. And he was like, oh, there's only one team in the SEC. I was like, no, there's not, dude. I said, if there was only one team in the SEC, how boring would that be? You play yourself every weekend, offense, defense. I mean, I don't know how that goes. But anyway, but, you know, we have to make it interesting and have more teams. But my one request for the SEC, if they could consider it, instead of, getting all these teams into the SEC, can we have an exchange program like Clemson or Vanderbilt or, you know, I don't want to name too many teams and make enemies.
I mean, there happened to be I was at something Friday night and somebody asked me about another school. And I said, well, once you get invited to the SEC, this is not like a sorority in college where you're going to get kicked out. You're in. And everyone defends your good name, even if you don't have one.
Oh, that's how that goes.
Yeah, it's like a club.
Wow. Well, I wish the best for all the SEC teams, of course, and especially Georgia. I'm happily remarried now,
oh,
and
great.
I'm actually married to an LSU guy.
Man.
And when I met him, and he talked and told me he was from Louisiana, I'm like, well, you don't sound like you're from Louisiana, because I thought everybody from Louisiana was Cajun. But he said, no, that's southern Louisiana. I'm from northern Louisiana.
Where is he from?
He's actually from Winfield, a little small town.
Oh, sure. Yeah, no, I used to live in northwest Louisiana. Briefly, I might have, but I lived in Shreveport for a year.
Okay. And he... his family, they live in northern Louisiana,
yeah.
Monroe. Yeah,
Monroe's about an hour to the east from Shreveport. Well, that's interesting. Well, listen, I'm so happy to hear that you found someone, even a Georgia fan,
yeah.
can deal with somebody from Louisiana.
Yeah, and I've got mainly Georgia hanging around here, but I do have a LSU Georgia flag flying around here as well.
That's okay. That's
yeah. Yeah,
Melanie. Thank you for the call. You take care of yourself.
Oh yeah, and you do as well. And go dogs.
That's Chicken. What I wanted to hear. Melanie, bringing the heat. Mike is in Arkansas. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how's it going?
Very well, thank you.
I was just calling. You know, when Alabama played Texas, you had a pretty good rapport with Stephen A.
Oh, yeah.
About what was going
to
go, what was going
to
happen,
Alabama
and what
was
didn't happen.
Beaten down, right?
Oh, no. Alabama was going to just roll over
Alabama
them, wasn't
was
it?
Going to beat down Texas, and I was trying to say, hold on, Stephen A.
Yeah. I mean, that was really good, but being from Arkansas. Alabama's coming this weekend. What do you think?
You know, Mike, I haven't really given the game a lot of thought yet. I'm worried how Arkansas is going to recover from what happened Saturday night. That troubles me a little bit. I frankly thought if Arkansas could win that game, they were going to be flying into this game. But we'll continue. That will be the theme of the week. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. We're out of time. We thank you for being a part of the show.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.